Ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Billy Graham said, the greatest legacy one can pass on to one's children and grandchildren is not money or other material things accumulated in one's life, but rather a legacy of character and faith in God, and a legacy of family devotions. Ladies and gentlemen, join me in praying the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Light in the back, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, turn your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 5, verses 28 and 29 as we continue to deal with each and every day in a slow motion fashion. Here a little, there a little. All of it the Word of God. The family, what I call the family verses. And yes, I do believe more emphasis needs to be on these family verses today. Because, as I've said before, don't fool yourself. If there's no revival in the family, where the rubber meets the road, where real Christianity is lived out, don't tell me how much of a great church man or a great church woman you are if you're not a great home man and a great home woman down at the house. Your Christianity must be lived out in a shoe leather fashion down at the house. Oh yes, and see, folks don't want to hear that. We're all about our church image, our business image, our on-the-job image, our public image. And this is what's wrong with America today. This is what is wrong with the church today. We have many church leaders who have a great public image, but they don't have a great home image. They're not dealing with and tackling the issues at home. In fact, they use the ministry, they use the church, they use their business, they use their job to run away from home and get away from that cantankerous husband or that cantankerous wife or those cantankerous children that you both had. You just don't want to deal with it, and you want as quickly as possible turn those children over to somebody else, and you don't want to know anything about it. And you expect your little children to turn out to be little angels when they will turn out, I assure you, to be little devils. Well, but that's what we do today in the church. We're all about the outward appearance, when God looks on the heart and God sees the real Christianity, or lack thereof, going on in the home. Amen, somebody. No, he's not interested in you coming and singing all beautifully and preaching all beautifully at the church when you're not living beautifully at home. We have some evangelicals who are promoting this thing called beautiful orthodoxy. That's wonderful. Sounds great. But beautiful orthodoxy must be beautiful also in the home life. And everybody knows when it's real. Everybody knows when it's right down at the house. And if, and I'll say again and again, if revival does not take place first in the home, is not going to take place. See, what made Billy Graham great is not only did he have a great outward image. He had a great home life image. Was it perfect? No. And he said that. And you can just look at Ruth Bell Graham, who, and she was not going to lie about anything. She's not the lying type. She was just as honest as her daughter is. I get the names mixed up, but she's more like her dad than any of them. Ruth Graham. I get the names mixed up. I think she was named after her mother or whatever. Somebody help me out. What's her name? The daughter. Say it again. Ann Graham Lotz. Oh, yes. She's more like her father than any of them. Looks like her father. Serious about the gospel and the word of God, like her father. She does not play. She does not compromise. But he was a real Christian at home, and that's what made him a real Christian in public. He didn't live a life of duplicity, dishonesty. He was transparent. And I believe that true Christians cannot be anything less than transparent. It's just in them. They're humble, they're broken, they're meek. And they will admit more than anybody their failures and their faults, and how that they don't deserve the blessings that God has bestowed upon them. Amen, somebody. Verse 28, so ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. And so, husbands, the question remains, do you love your wife? Do you truly love her? If you truly love her, then you'll stay with her, and you will help her to become what she should become. And if she does not choose to become what she should become, it will not be your fault. David Guzik writes in his Enduring Word commentary on the Bible. And by the way, there are just some men gifted to study and to go through the pains of breaking down the Word of God and making it plain and understandable in a very deep sense. And I would encourage you, my beloved, if you're not gifted like that, there are some men who can sit in an office for 20 hours studying one passage of Scripture. They're just gifted to do it, got a mind to do it. And we need to thank God for those men and utilize their gift. And don't go out there trying to reinvent the wheel. Most evangelists like me, we don't have that mind to do that. We study and we read and everything, but not to the point, to the extent as these folks. And most pastors are this way. I have a pastor friend. He has a prophetic calling as well, but he loves to study the Word of God and dig deep and get down into it, to the root of the thing. And see, most pastors are called to do that. And they like that personal, hands-on ministry. They're called to do that. Most evangelists are not. Be that as it may, whatever the gift is, take advantage of it for your own benefit and use it to be a blessing and help to others. Don't try to be what you're not. Now that's free. Let's continue with the text. The single word as, the single word as, in quotation marks, is important. Paul did not say, so ought men to love their wives in the same way as they love their bodies. That would be an improvement in many cases. Light in the back. But that is not the meaning. The meaning is, so ought men to love their wives because they are their own bodies. Wow, boom. See, you didn't think of that, did you? Because you don't have that gift to break it down like that. A man must love his wife as he would his body, as a part of himself. And herein lies the problem in many marriages. Everybody wants to still remain separate. And quite frankly, when my wife and I got married, both of us are very independent-minded people. And I the main reason why I got married was to avoid fornication, and so that I could have sex legally in God's sight. That's just the truth. I didn't get married for Romeo and Juliet stuff and all of that kind of thing. I'm not like my dear friend, Brother Madison, who is a diehard romantic and all of that. I'm not a romantic person like that. I wanted to have sex, and I wanted to avoid fornication so that I could be right with God. And we both got together thinking that we could just go ahead on and live our individual lives and just come together for the family business. But we learned quickly that that was not the case. That God does something when you get married. You become one. And we got a whole lot of marriages today thinking like I was thinking when I first got married. And, you know, she goes her way, you go your way, and y'all are supposed to come together and pretty much be in a perpetual dating situation, single but yet married. And but once you get married, the reason why things go awry is because God binds you together as one. And here you are trying to pull apart and be two, and that's just not, that's not going to work. And so many husbands don't see their wife as a part of them, and many wives don't see that as well. And so as Eve was a part, back to the text, as Eve was a part of Adam, taken out of his side, so the wife is to the man, because she is a part of him. This is a real thing. This is real. Everybody who has been married knows that this is real, in the sense that when they try to separate, there's this little cord that no matter how far they go apart, that is holding them together, and God does not want it broken. And when they try to break it, it is an extremely painful thing. The reality, back to the text, of this union must dominate the husband's thinking and actions in marriage. Martin Lloyd-Jones said, the apostle puts it in this form in order that a husband may see that he cannot detach himself from his wife. He wants to still be footloose and fancy free, and which leads oftentimes to getting involved with another woman on the job or in travels. Yes, there are some even preachers and some many men who have a girlfriend in other towns that they do business in. They even have an apartment already set up for them to meet and to rendezvous because they are trying to do this detached thing. You cannot detach yourself, Guzik says, from your body. So you cannot detach yourself from your wife. She is a part of you, whether you like it or not. And I'm adding that part, says the apostle. So remember that always. You might as well just go ahead on and stay together, because you are put together by God, and God does not want any man, including you, to put you asunder. So, husbands, love your wives as you love your own body, because she is your body, whether you like it or not. It is what it is. Amen, somebody. Let's pray. Holy Father God, we praise you and we thank you for your enduring word, your holy word, the family verses, that reminds us that we need to stop acting like children and act like adults and be mature and understand that you want things done as children of God a certain way. We cannot have it our way, for this is not Burger King. This is the King of Kings that we're dealing with, and you want us to do what you have commanded us to do, because you told us very clearly, if you love me, keep my commandments. You made it clear to us by saying, why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? And you want us to be obedient, not only at the church house, but down at the house. So, Lord, forgive us of our sins of trying to go our separate ways from our marriages, trying to be Mr. Independent and Mrs. Independent, when we know that that is just not how you arranged things. And we know we're wrong when we try to break that bond. And it's a very painful thing, because you make it painful. And you want us to be one. And so grant us your grace and the power of your Holy Spirit to be one in all of our marriages and all of our families. And to be obedient, not in a compromising way, not in this phony, syrupy way that we see among so many people today. This manufactured by the so-called book of another man, not your holy word. And his ideas that work for his family with his wife, which is totally different from our situation. All of us must simply obey your holy word, and it will work if we obey it. Grant us your grace and the power of your Holy Spirit to simply obey your holy word. In Jesus Christ's name we pray, and for his sake, amen. Ladies and gentlemen, our devotional passage from the Holy Word of God today is Psalm 112, verses 5 through 10. The Bible reads, a good man showeth favor and lendeth. He will guide his affairs with discretion. Surely he shall not be moved forever. the righteous shall be in everlasting remembrance. He shall not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. Verse 8, his heart is established. He shall not be afraid until he see his desire upon his enemies. He hath dispersed. He hath given to the poor. His righteousness endureth forever. His horn shall be exalted with honor. The wicked shall see it and be grieved. He shall gnash with his teeth and melt away. The desire of the wicked shall perish. Ladies and gentlemen, regarding this passage, Matthew Henry writes, a good man shall have a settled spirit, and it is the endeavor of true believers to keep their minds stayed upon God, and so to keep them calm and undisturbed. And God has promised them both cause to do so and grace to do so, trusting in the Lord is the best and surest way of establishing the heart. The heart of man cannot fix any where with satisfaction except in the truth of God, and there it finds firm footing. And those whose hearts are established by faith will patiently wait till they gain their advantage. Holy Father, God in heaven, we know that you're there. We know that you are here. And we know that your Holy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, is at your right hand, and he is with us today. And we thank you for the gift of your Holy Spirit who is with us today in spite of ourselves. We are amazed at how strong you are in light of the fact of our sin and our foolishness, and how you love us so much that you don't totally forsake us. And we thank you for your Holy Word. Have it to find a lodging place in our hearts. And Lord, help us to dwell on your Holy Word and not on material things and money like the world wants us to, but to do your will and not ours. Help us to be obedient to your Holy Word, for that is the ultimate way of us showing our love to you. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and for his sake. Ladies and gentlemen, join me in praying for the estates. You should know what the estates are now, so let's get right to it. Holy Father God, we pray for the entire church. Lord, help us to stop praying for revival and to get on revival ground through prayer, through seeking you, seeking your face, and from turning, and also by turning from our wicked ways and humbling ourselves before you. Revive us again, Lord, when we get on revival ground. We know that you want to revive us more than we want to be revived, but there are some things that you require of us, and we're not doing those things, and we pray that you would help us. We also pray for all government leaders. We pray for President Trump, as we have prayed for every president since Ronald Reagan, based upon your Holy Word, 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 and 2, which says, I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. And Holy Father God, we pray for President Donald Trump. We pray that you give him and everybody in his administration wisdom, knowledge, understanding, and insight. And we know that this president has a strong constitution and makeup, but help him to realize that he needs your strength and not just the ability to fight off multiple attacks, but your and multiple criticisms, but your strength to do the right thing. And Lord, help him as we pray for all of the church, as we pray for all Christians. And Lord, help him to be a Christian in his heart. If you can find that song, Lord, I want to be a Christian in my heart. I think it's an old Negro hymn. Let's sing that at the end of this, if you can find that with the words. Lord, we pray for Vice President Mike Pence and First Lady Melania Trump, Second Lady Karen Pence, all White House staff, including Deputy Staff Secretary Derek S. Lyons, all leaders of federal agencies, including Commission on Civil Rights Chairperson Catherine E. Hummon, all state governors, including Ohio Governor John Kasich, all city mayors, including St. Paul, Minnesota Mayor Chris Coleman, all members of Congress, including California Representative Devin Nunes, all law enforcement officials, including Stockton, California Police Chief Eric Jones, all military leaders, including Admiral Paul F. Zukunit, Admiral Paul F. That's the best I can do. Commandant of the Coast Guard, leaders of nations around the world. We pray for Gambia's president, Adama Barrow, and we pray for the modern day David Benjamin Netanyahu. We pray for the peace of Jerusalem and the peace of Israel, your chosen people, your chosen nation, right smack dab in the middle of the world, in that little plot of land with just a few people compared to other nations, is in the middle of everything. We know that there's a God in heaven because of Israel. And we thank you, Lord, for the gift of your chosen people. And so, Holy Father God, now we pray for the people. We pray for the citizens and many citizens are hurting. Comfort those who are hurting across this country, from Florida to Arizona, to Nevada, to California. And people are shedding tears because of lost loved ones, tragic events that no one has healed from. Only the people who just sit back and watch the news and who are not concerned, and they see the murder of other people as entertainment. We pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that you would save those who are lost in this country and around the globe in every country. Have your Holy Spirit and your Holy Word to continue to be unrelenting and in moving upon the hearts of people. And Lord, help everybody who's been called to preach the gospel, and even those who have not been called to preach the gospel, to proclaim the gospel. And Lord, even though it's raining today, help us to share the gospel. And it was raining so bad yesterday that we failed to do that. Forgive us of that sin and help us to find a way to do it today. And Holy Father God, have it to be that it's not only on my mind or my baby daughter's mind, but everybody's mind in this ministry and work. And so, Holy Father God, we pray that you give us a heart and a burden for those who are lost. And we pray that because your Holy Spirit and your Holy Word mixed with a soul winner can and will lead people to Christ. Lord, help us to go back to the old-fashioned way of praying for a burden for souls and having a burden for souls each and every day of our lives. We pray for the media as well. Save those who are lost, revive those who are saved, and help Christian media to truly be Christian with the purpose of reaching those who are lost. And Holy Father God, we also pray for current events, not to inform you because we know that you already know about them, but to be obedient to you, to pray for other people who are going through, some going through hellacious situations. We pray for the recovery of 25 people injured in a ferry explosion in Mexico. Comfort those families, save those souls. And Lord, use all of the trouble that's in the world to point people to Jesus as the only help that will last. We pray for the comfort of the families and church family of the 5 people killed in an ISIS attack on a church in Russia. And it is a shame even for us, Lord, to take situations, events that have taken place off of our prayer list, because oftentimes so that we can pray for others in the time frame that we have here, because oftentimes those people are still hurting and still need healing. So Lord, help us to continue to pray for them in our private time and not take them off of the list. We pray for the comfort of the families and the community affected by the deadly high school shooting in Florida, which left 17 dead and 14 wounded, and no doubt more. Comfort them as only you can. And we pray for the children, these teenagers, Lord, which have shown the world that teenagers can act when they are hurt and hurting, can rise to the occasion and become eloquent in dealing with issues that affect them and others and the future of the nation. And help politicians to realize that these teenagers will rise. They won't be 17 and 16 and 15 anymore. One day they will vote, and one day they will run. And so we pray for all young people to be inspired by these young people who, because of their experience, have been catapulted into adulthood in a very real way, and they are taking over the situation because grown folks are not doing their job and not doing their part. Because the truth of the matter is, this should have never happened. And so we pray for the prayer requests that have come in. We pray for the hundreds of folks who have sent in prayer requests. And we pray for salvation, spiritual, family, financial, material, physical, life, protection, and provision blessings upon them. Excuse me. And we pray for a few by name. We pray for Gene. Please help him to become a good Christian and a preacher, if that is your will. And at the same time, Lord, we pray that you would remove all of the imposters and all of the liars and all of the false preachers and teachers out of your church by any means necessary. And we pray also for IG, help her to come to know you as Savior. What a prayer request. Lord, save her soul today. We pray for Ajah. Please take them out of the homeless shelter they are in and give them a good house they can afford and enough money. Please give her a job so she can take care of her children. Help her to receive her income tax refund. And Holy Father God, we pray for those who have trusted you as Savior. We pray for Carlos. We pray for Judea. We pray for Mr. Norwood. We pray for those who have recommitted their lives to Christ. We pray for Julie. We pray for O.T. We pray for Ezekiel. And we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that you'll help them to stand strong in the faith and never go back into the wilderness of a backslidden state. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. We commit these souls into your hands and our souls as well. Let your will be done in all of our lives today. And Lord, because you have brought us through so many yesterdays, and because you have blessed us with many blessings in all of our yesterdays, for me, Lord, many years, Lord, we know that if you want to, you can bless this day in our lives and bless us and provide for us and use us for your glory, praise, and honor, which is the greatest blessing to be used by you. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and for his sake. Amen. Now, my beloved, the devotional reading for today is The Broken Home by Billy Graham, and how timely this is. And we're going to be sticking with Billy Graham and his words of wisdom from the Word of God until at least after the funeral. Psalm 55, 15 and 16 says, "There is sin in their homes, and they are polluted to the depths of their souls. But I will call upon the Lord to save me, and he will." Can somebody say amen to the Word of God? Dr. Billy Graham says, "The broken home has become the number one social problem of America and could ultimately lead to the destruction of our civilization." You must understand, only a person who has the gift of a prophet, of an evangelist, can see the big picture like this and put it in simple terms. He understands that if the home breaks down, the church breaks down, the city breaks down, the county breaks down, the state breaks down, the nation breaks down, and worldwide civilization breaks down. Boom. He made that statement. He said all of that in one statement. And he's right. And we're in the midst of that right now. We can't see it because we're in the middle of the tornado. Since the basic, back to what he was saying, or what he is saying, since the basic unit of any society is the home, when the home begins to break, the society is on the way to disintegration. It is a threat to the American way of life. It does not make screaming headlines, but like termites, it is eating away at the heart and core of the American structure. It is high time that our so-called experts on marriage, the family, and the home turn back to the Bible. Amen, somebody. Spoken just like a prophet and an evangelist. We have read a newspaper columns. We have read newspaper columns, rather. We have read newspaper columns and listened to counselors on the radio. Psychiatrists have had a land office business. In it all, the one who performed the first marriage in the Garden of Eden and instituted the union between man and wife has been left out. No wonder the home is broken. Truly spoken like a prophet to the nations, Dr. Billy Graham, now home with the Lord. But he left us tons of stuff like that, and we're going to stick with him for a while, and we thank God for his life. Let's pray. Holy Father God, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for this entire time together, this devotional time, this family altar spread abroad, this family worship that has been going on for 30 years before we brought it out into the open to encourage others to get back to the most important time of the day, and that is the family altar, family devotions, family worship. Lord, forgive us of our sins in the church of getting away from you, getting away from your holy word, and turning away from the Bible to Christian radio and television and the secular radio and television and getting advice from the devil and the world and phonies and hypocrites who claim to be Christians. Lord, help us to get back to your holy word and to do it your way, and for your way works. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and forsake. Amen. Now, my beloved, if you were to die today, where would you go? Heaven or hell? If you don't know the answer to that question, listen up. If you do know the answer to that question and you said, like I did when I was a teenager, I would go to hell, then listen up. If you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, allow me to show you how you can put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ so that you can be saved from the power of sin and the consequences of sin in that awful place called hell. First, accept the fact, dear friend, that you are a sinner and that you have broken God's laws. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We all have broken God's laws, everybody, from the Pope on down, from Billy Graham on down. Secondly, accept the fact, dear friend, that there is a penalty, there is a punishment for sin, and you know there is. You've been punished yourself for evil and wrong and sin in your life as a child, as a teenager, and as an adult. How many times have you been pulled over and given a ticket for speeding? Even a beautiful lady called Judge Janine got pulled over the other day for speeding 95 miles an hour. Well, that's pretty good for a woman her age. I can't even control a car at 95 miles an hour. But she sinned. She's the judge. And yet she sinned. She did wrong. She did evil. She admitted it. We all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and there's a penalty. She got a ticket. She's the judge. And she got punished for speeding. So there's penalties and punishments for sin and for doing wrong, even in life. How much more at the end of life, if we don't trust Christ as Savior, that punishment is death. For the Bible states in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. You're headed towards the grave because of sin. We all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and the punishment is death. Our bodies die. They decay, and they are put in the grave. Our soul goes to hell if we have never accepted Jesus Christ as Savior and His payment for sin on the cross. That leads me to my third point, and that is, accept the fact, dear friend, that you are on the road to hell right now. Jesus Christ said in Matthew 10:28, and fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Now that is bad news. Going to hell is bad news. It's terrible news. It's frightening news because it's forever. It's a place of gnashing of teeth because of the pain. Have you ever seen anybody who's being chastised or being punished or whipped or whatever, and they grit their teeth and gnash their teeth together because of the pain? That's what's going to be happening in hell forever. Darkness, a darkness you will feel forever. You will never see any light. Burning, constantly burning and suffering because of your sin forever and ever. If eternal life is forever, eternal death is forever. Hell is a place of an agonizing and painful memory. Every time you thumbed your nose at God, every time you thumbed your nose at the preacher who was preaching to you the gospel, every time an old lady tried to give you a gospel tract and you balled it up and threw it down, you will remember. My friend, you'll remember every Sunday school lesson in hell. You will remember every message you ever heard on the gospel. And that alone will cause great pain. But here's the good news. I have some good news for you. I'm not going to leave you in hell. The good news is Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, Emmanuel, God in the flesh, the most wonderful story in the history of the world. Jesus Christ said in John 3:16, for God so loved the world. My God, what kind of love is this? I've experienced this love for almost 40 years, and I get excited about it even right now. God so loved the world, that includes you. I don't care how wicked you are. I don't care if you're getting out of bed with a prostitute right now. God loves you. That he gave his only begotten son. He was speaking about himself. God, Jesus Christ was so awesome. He was preaching the gospel and talking about himself. That whosoever, that means anybody at any time, believeth in him should not perish. Perish where? In hell. I just got through talking with you about that. But have everlasting life. Boy, what good news. What good news. You don't have to go to the darkness and the flames and the torture of hell. You can trust Christ as your Savior and repent of your sins and turn from your old life and follow Him. Just believe in your heart, dear friend, in the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe that He died for your sins, was buried and rose from the dead by the power of God for you so that you can live forever with Him. Pray and ask Him to come into your heart today to save your soul. Believing the gospel that Jesus Christ talked about. Believing in Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God who took away the sins of the world. For the Bible says in Romans 10:9-13, that if you shall confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shall believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, you shall be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So, dear friend of mine, this morning, if you would believe in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, that He died on the cross for your sins, was buried, and rose again, and pray and ask Him to save your soul, He will save you. I'll be glad to lead you in what is called the sinner's prayer. Repeat after me, phrase by phrase, and mean it from your heart. Holy Father God, I acknowledge that I am a sinner. I admit that I have sinned against You by lusting after people and things that don't belong to me, by lying about things, by stealing things that don't belong to me. For Jesus Christ's sake, please forgive me of all of my sins, because I have committed many more. Lord Jesus, please come into my heart and save my soul, as I believe with all of my heart You died on the cross for my sins, was buried, and rose again, and that You are the Lamb of God who took away the sins of the world. Fill me with Your Holy Spirit and help me to repent of my sins past, and help me to follow You in the new life. In Jesus Christ's name I pray, and for His sake, amen. Ladies and gentlemen, if you just trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you prayed that prayer and meant it from your heart, I declare to you that based upon the Word of God, you are now saved from hell, and you're on your way to heaven. Welcome to the family of God. I want to congratulate you on doing the most important thing in life, and that is believing on the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. For more information to help you grow in your newfound faith in Christ, please go to gospellightsociety.com and read my pamphlet, What to Do After You Enter Through the Door. Jesus Christ said in John 10:9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. Until next time, my beloved, may the Lord bless you and keep you, is my prayer.
on the back, like he said he would. And you change the wrong to right. So if you're always searching, trying to find the bottom line, just give your love and life to God. He'll give you peace of mind. I know that everything is gonna be alright. He's coming back like he said he would.
Just like you said you would.